Welcome back to Noise Avocation Podcast. I'm Ryan here with Jeremy as always.
Yo, yo.
That was Born to Serve by Crossfire. We have Casey and Carter from the band here with us today. But before we get into that, one thing. If you're listening to this today, you still have one day left to enter the giveaway to win one of two copies of Big Deal's latest album. So go to our Instagram, comment on the post, share it, follow us, follow them, follow Heroes and Martyrs. It's all in the picture description.
You're going to want to fucking try to win this album, dude. This shit is solid.
We draw that tomorrow, so you got one day left.
Hurry up.
And as always, check out Blast Beats Vinyl. The link's in the episode description. Use our promo code NOISE for 10% off your first order. There's new stuff there every single week. Always a good rotation of different types of metal shit coming through, and I don't know where he even finds some of this stuff, but always great stuff. So check them out. It's in the episode description. Follow them on Instagram. Follow us on Instagram, Crossfire, etc., and enjoy the interview. All right. Casey and Carter, thank you guys for jumping on the show. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Just so we can match names with voices, go ahead and tell me your role in the band.
I'm Carter, and I do vocals.
I'm Casey, and I play bass.
Cool. You guys are part of... Are you a five-piece or a four-piece? I'm trying to pull this up right now.
Yeah, we're a five-piece.
Okay.
So Carter on vocals, me, Casey on bass. Our drummer is Cody, and then we have Jake and Crispy on guitar.
On the Bandcamp page, it says Mike or Mac Frost.
Yeah,
is that that's a real name?
That's our dude. That's our dude Josh. That helped us. Yeah, he helped us get the band off the ground, and then he's just kind of just doing other things now. But
okay.
Yeah, shout out to him though. Like, we're just looking to jam and didn't have anyone on guitar yet. Like, I had some riff ideas and whatnot, but we didn't have anyone to play guitar. And then, yeah, he stepped up and helped us kind of get the band going.
Yeah, and he recorded the demo with us too. So,
yeah, that's a cool name. Like, I just figured that it wasn't real.
Like, as a moniker.
Yeah, because I don't know. And then I was thinking like Mac the Knife, and then I'm like Mac Frost. Man, I don't know. And Jack Frost.
Yeah, that's like his rap, right, Carter?
Yeah, he does hip hop stuff, and that's his like rap name.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
Jack Frost, the rap. Anyway, so it's glad to have you guys here.
Oh yeah.
It's awesome to be here. Thanks.
So you guys are pretty early on in your career with Crossfire so far. When did you guys get together?
We started jamming like just casually last summer, I'd say, and then we finally got like enough music to record the demo back in October. And then that came out in February. That lined up with our first show.
That just came out, man. That's a...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, February 2nd.
Yeah.
That's the date that I got.
I got a copy of the cassette, and then right before we got on here, I noticed there's only, like, two left. So that's pretty fucking cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, shout out to Sean from Wiseblood Records who helped put it out.
Oh, yeah, right on. Are they out of Indiana as well?
Yeah, they are, but he does a lot of music just regionally and some internationally, but mostly just regionally.
Oh, that's cool.
A lot of stuff, but yeah.
Yeah, if you haven't heard of Wiseblood, definitely go check them out. Really cool label. They have like a cult following, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, there are certain people that just like love Wiseblood so much that anything he puts out, they're like on it, buying it immediately, or right, like pre-ordering immediately.
Well, that's fucking good for you guys.
Yeah, especially for you guys. It's cool when a label has that following though, where they're like, it's, we talk about 20 bucks spin all the time. They're the metal label, and that's another one that you can just, anything they release, you just buy it.
Feel that way about Triple B right now too.
Yeah, Triple B would be another one.
Yeah, definitely Triple B. Days.
Yep. So you guys have these four songs. Kick It's kind of more of an intro.
Yeah.
Then you go into Born to Serve. That's a fucking tough-ass song, man.
Thanks.
You guys, are you the lyricist? Do you write all the lyrics?
Yeah, I do.
Carter, yeah. That's cool. You're an angry dude.
Sometimes.
Do you do both? Is there another person that does vocals as well, or do you do the highs, Josh, and the lows?
Josh, he did the other vocals on the demo, but like live, Jake, our current guitar player, mm-hmm. does them.
Okay. Yeah, and Jake's going to hate that I tell you guys this, but he was actually the original vocalist of The Contortionist.
Of The Contortionist?
I had to throw that out there because he hates it when people bring that up. So, yeah, I'm bringing that up so he can be mad at me later.
He already turned it off after this point. He's like, fuck you. Now, I like the mix of like the low gutturals. It adds you guys' own flair to the music for sure, to where it just doesn't kind of sound like everything else.
Right. Thank you.
It definitely reminds, like, I took notes, and it definitely, listening to it, because it's not, doesn't take too long, you know? And it's
11 minutes.
Yeah, 11 minutes.
Yeah.
Definitely, I can hear like some Path of Resistance-ish shit in there, which is awesome.
Oh, sure.
Then when I finally pulled up and like read this little Bandcamp thing and it says Earth Crisis, I'm like, oh, fucking, of course, you know?
So, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that shit's definitely up my alley, you know? All Out War, fuck, man, love that shit.
Yeah, we get All Out War a lot, and we get, people always say strong, like, integrity.
Oh, yeah, the vocals have that, you have that little bit of a furnace to you.
Yeah, I think that's the Midwest just coming out of us.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I saw All Out War back in October in Chicago. It was fucking awesome.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah, we interviewed Mike like a while back. Actually, I think it might have been in October when we did it.
Yeah, that's true. So you guys got together, got this demo out. So what's been going on since... You debuted this at Wide Eyed Music Fest on the 2nd. What's that all about?
Yeah, so that's a newer fest here. Man, honestly, the guy that puts it on, JS, awesome dude, super cool promoter, super cool friend. He might have to move that to a bigger venue because it's starting to pop off, even as new as it is. It was sold out, like, super early on. Like, I think it had basically sold out. We actually opened it up because it was our first show. And I think it was like basically sold out at that point, right when the show started.
How many people are we talking?
Well, I'm not going to tell you who told me this so they don't get in trouble, but the cap, there's like 200 and they sold like 250 tickets.
Oh shit. So
that is really pretty small.
Then. Yeah. But then that's pretty tight. You're like, yeah, I played my first show. That shit was sold out.
Yeah,
that's pretty tight.
Yeah, so what that fest is, it just highlights bands only from Indiana. So obviously Indiana, there's like a big space, like, obviously, you know, northern and southern Indiana, they're 6-7 hours away from each other, but right. He brings in bands from all over the state, so that's what that fest is, just highlights Indiana.
Fuck, man, that's pretty tight.
All hardcore.
It seems like there's these little pockets popping out everywhere right now, and Indianapolis definitely is a place. I heard Springfield's another place that's popping off.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, for sure. And, like, yeah, Indiana, I mean, there's bands all over, like, northern Indiana. You have, like Days Lost, and then you have, like, I guess Pissant would be considered probably northern Indiana.
Yeah.
And then, you know, down here, there's really cool bands popping up. Like, I don't know, like Headstone comes to mind.
Yeah, dude.
You haven't
checked them out? Midwest's got it going on, man. It always has.
For sure. And then Evansville is just always popping off, too.
Man, that's cool. So, you guys. Bloomington's
got.
You guys are.
Yeah, Bloomington does as well.
You guys said that you were on your way to a show to play with Pissant.
Yeah, actually, we're on our way to Evansville to play with Pissant.
Fuck, that's what's up. So you guys have the 4 songs on your demo. How many songs do you actually have now?
Yeah, that's a great question. So what we've been working on lately is just writing a whole new EP and We're kind of unsure of how many tracks we're going to put on there, but definitely 7 or 8. So live, we actually play. I mean, as you know, that demo is only like 11, 12 minutes long.
Right, right.
Live, we actually play like a 20-minute set, so we play some new ones. And those are going on the EP, and we're going to record that here in May is when we're going to start recording that with Colin St. Mary from 19 Stars. That's in like northern Indiana. So if you're not familiar with him, something notable, like really hyped that he just did recently was the new Conservative Military Image album.
That band's fucking phenomenal live if you get the chance.
For sure. Love them. I finally just found one of the vinyls I was missing from them. It was like going for like $100. And I found it, I found it for like $20. I was like, yep.
Damn, dude.
Is he the same guy that you used for the first demo too? Or is this a new your first time with him?
No, the first demo was recorded Bill Stack. He plays guitar in a local hardcore band called Hiddo. And I've known him 15, 20 years. He's a good friend of mine. And I've recorded with him in the past, too, with other things I've done. Bill's fucking awesome.
Yeah, Bill's a local legend.
Yeah.
For sure. So that demo also, that was actually done live. It was kind of like, I guess, like kind of audio tree style. We actually... The first two tracks, we played them right in a row, and then he, like, cut them in half.
It does actually sound like that because it kind of keeps ringing, and then,
yeah.
And then boop, yeah, drops so off. Yeah,
yeah, we went in there and set up the drums and the amps, and he mic'd everything up, and it took, like, 3 hours to mic everything up, and then we played everything in, like, 10 minutes, and it was done. And then he just, you know, mixed it. You know, he had, like, obviously a bunch of mics, so he did some mixing, mastering, and then we just put it out. Just, yeah, live demo.
Fucking sound. So it sounds really good, dude. I can't believe you just played it through once and called it good.
I mean, sometimes that's the best way to get the most authentic sound, though, because there's a lot of bands that I've seen that weren't as good on their records as they were live, or vice versa.
Right.
Oh, sure.
I like that, Casey. I really liked that on the beginning of Anthem of Our Hate, your fucking beginning bass part. That's fucking pretty cool. Is that just some shit you came up with? Or you guys plan on kind of like starting them off like that in that kind of tradition? Or
so, like, how we've always wrote our songs is just like someone will, even with Josh gone now and we have Jake, it's kind of the same songwriting. We just come in, like, someone comes in with a riff, like, whether it's me, Crispy, or Jake, or in that case, it was Josh, and we just have this idea, and then we just start jamming it out with Cody, and we just jam in Carter's basement, and then, yeah, that's how that came
from there.
Yep.
Yeah, that bass line always reminded me of, like, Judge or something. Yeah.
Absolutely.
No, it just stood out on there because, I mean, there's with the four songs, that's the beginning. That's like, you know, kind of stands out in between those.
And I like that it seems like bands are now highlighting bass more often because there's exactly. been a lot of times lately where we've talked to people that were like, oh, this bass in the back of here sounds awesome. And you actually bring it front and forward where a lot of times it would be buried in the background. I think it should be up front and center, like how it has been lately with a lot of bands. It's cool to see.
Absolutely. That's partly how you get that heavy sound.
Yeah.
In a couple of my other bands, I play bass, and I've always been just a real big, like, into that. Just because, like, when I was, you know, like, 15, 20 years ago, I was, like, really into, like, Death Wish stuff, and I feel like Kurt Ballou mixed most of that stuff, and he'd always have the bass real loud, and I always loved that.
Yeah, that's a good person to admire, man. That dude's a fucking genius.
Oh yeah, big time.
So, who did the artwork for the EP that you guys put out?
Oh, it was my buddy Ryan Dunn, not to be confused.
Ryan Dunn, yeah.
Ryan Dunn. But yeah, he plays guitar in a local, like, Indianapolis rock and roll band called Hypertensions, and he's a really cool fucking dude.
It reminds me of, like, the Warning label on, like, a saw blade or something, but like a more graphic awesome. Version of because I've worked in like different like automotive shops and stuff like that, and you see those warning labels that are like, don't put your fingers in here or it'll cut your whole hand off, but it doesn't actually show the whole hand getting cut off like how it does in there. But that's always been my interpretation of seeing that warning label. So when I seen the artwork, I was like, oh, it's like the warning label.
Yeah, he absolutely killed it. Like, yeah, big shout out to him, because we just like took that artwork, slightly modified it to fit on like some hoodies and some shirts. And it like, people loved the design so much. It's like we've sold out of hoodies. We had to get another hoodie order. And I feel like it's just because of like how awesome that design is.
I don't know if it's supposed to, but it makes you think, that's for sure.
Absolutely. I feel like it draws people in, like on Bandcamp, for example, like when you see that artwork, you're just kind of like, I want to see what that sounds like. And I feel like that helped a lot of people click on it and buy the cassette and whatnot.
Yeah, you try not to judge a book by its cover, but everybody's guilty of it, you know? Got to have something absolutely to grab attention.
I got to be honest, when it comes to music, I do a lot of judging by the cover.
Oh, you can't help it, man.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you have, like, a whack design or, like, something that just kind of looks lazy, I mean, I feel like a lot of people are going to pass on it, not even give it a chance.
I mean, it's important to, like, make a good – that's your literal first impression. Like, anybody sees that before the music most of the time. So, like, you want that to jump out and grab you in. And then the music pull you in further, not like, well, I'm just going to stamp my name on here in Times New Roman and like see if people like it. It just doesn't work out all the time.
I think I was like 12 or 13. I was at like a local record store. I'm like, oh, I read about this band Black Flag and I want to get into them. And I just remember going to the store. They had the first 4 years and Damaged. And I picked up Damaged because I thought the album cover looked cooler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always mean that the record's better.
Yeah, it's like,
but,
right. Should have got the Dez shit.
Yeah, yeah. But a lot of times, like, the cover, like I said, it's your first impression that brings you in. Like, there's tons of band that I've checked out just because of the cover.
And absolutely.
They might be terrible, but the cover made me check you out, whereas, you know, if it were just playing something else, I probably wouldn't have.
I'm guilty of doing that with black metal for sure. Because there's, like, so many different ones, so I'll be like, oh, that scene looks good. I'll check that one out.
Yeah.
Right.
For sure.
So, I don't know.
Oh, you looked like you were going somewhere.
I was going somewhere, and then I forgot where I was going. It happens.
So how's touring and stuff working out for you guys? You have a lot of shows lined up. I mean, you have one that you're heading to shortly here, but what about throughout the summer and whatnot?
For now, we're just planning on doing weekenders. We're looking to get out. But there's so many places to play, like in the Midwest or even just places you can hit on a weekend. Like if you have 3 or 4 days hashed out and you can just hit 3-4 places. I mean, we're in a good location to just, I mean, we can go north, we can go south, east or west from where we're at. So we're just planning on doing a bunch of weekenders. So we're going to play a lot, but not necessarily tour for right now.
My friend Shotzi, she's in WWE right now. And she is originally from Oakland, California. And she moved to Indianapolis just because of how centrally located it was. And it was just easier for her to travel out.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. Thought about that, because where we're at, we're like, we're not centrally located at all.
Right,
we're way out of the way.
Yeah,
it's easy for us to like, we could, on if we hash down like 4 days, we can easily hit the East Coast and come back. You can go, I mean, all the way up, like hit Chicago, Milwaukee, or you could do like Chicago, Detroit, or whatever. Come back, like you can go south. Basically we just can't make it to California.
Right.
That's pretty much it.
It'd be fun to do like a Midwest tour and just fucking, I mean, as a fan and just hit every city on the way and hit all the shows, man. And Indianapolis is fucking definitely like a midpoint.
I've only ever driven through Indianapolis. I've never like really been there.
Oh, me neither. I met a rapper from there. That is about it.
I'm hoping it's like the next Louisville, because like, I mean, that was definitely like a flyover state. Like no one really stopped there, and now with all the stuff going on there, it's popping off. Yeah, and I feel
definitely.
Like Indianapolis is kind of following suit. I can just tell like locally the shows are just popping off. There can be 5 shows in one night and there's 200 people at every show. So I feel like it's starting to pop
dude.
Off.
Definitely. Cool. I can think of some shows during the week down in the Detroit area where like 15 people show up and it's like, huh. You guys got 5 shows going on at the same time.
It's hard to get people out on a Tuesday, though.
No, I know.
And if you got 5 different venues doing 5 different shows, like, I don't know, everybody can't be everywhere at once.
But you
guys, for sure.
In a way, too much could be a bad thing, but it's not like they're all, like, there's a hardcore show here, hardcore show here, hardcore show here that's, like, hardcore punks over here, rockabillys over here. Like, they kind of divide them up decently. Or sometimes you get a big mixed bag.
That's often how it is here, too.
A cool thing about here is how cool the promoters are, though. I feel like that's a big difference. They kind of single-handedly turned that around, like that issue you're talking about, because really we have, like, Brady with 317 shows, and then we talked about JS, who doesn't do a ton of shows, but every time he does a show, it pops off because he takes, like, special care. And then we have Dustin that helps run Black Circle, and his is called Stranger Attractions. And they'll work together.
They do
all
collaborations.
Three, like, as opposed to the past where a lot of promoters would, I guess, like, gatekeep or, like, see
undercut
it as a competition.
Each other and shit.
Yep, they would undercut each other. These guys, like, they'll work together. They put on shows together all the time. They post each other's flyers. Like, they also understand there's, like, a difference between, like, hey, you can have a death metal show and you can have a hardcore show, and different people like different stuff. So, I have a show this night, but I'm going to post the other guy's flyer too.
Right.
It's cool. They all work together like that.
As it should be, man. That's definitely noticed over the years that shit is definitely in a happier place and everybody's just trying to bring everybody up.
Absolutely.
I mean, in that business, like, you really should be working together. Like, you shouldn't have the attitude of, like, fuck you, I'm doing this on my own. Like, everybody's there to elevate everybody as a collective, not just one guy's trying to get the attention for everything. And that's not the way it should be, at least.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, you're going to develop that reputation, and then, you know, other bands are going to be talk to other bands, and then they're going to be like, I don't want to play for this guy because he's a fucking asshole.
Yeah, I don't think some promoters that, you know, act that way and do the undercutting and whatnot and have a bad attitude, I don't think they realize how fast that travels outside of your city.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
I mean, once shows, they'll start to realize.
Yeah. Yep, word travels quick.
Especially if you guys are in a central area, you're branching out to other surrounding areas, and you're going to talk to bands there. Those bands are going to talk about you guys to the other bands there, and the word goes.
I got a question on your upcoming EP. Is that going to be put out by Wise Blood as well?
I believe that's the plan at the moment. I believe so.
Okay.
And this time, probably do release.
And is it right, like, your writing pretty much on par with the demo? Or do you have, like, where do you draw that shit from?
I really think we've gotten, like, kind of faster, harder and faster.
It's heavier. It's heavier and it's faster. I think we've kind of fallen into our place of really what we want to sound like. The demo was kind of just like trying to figure out our sound. We definitely still sound like that demo big time, but
it's more dialed in.
Yeah, it's more dialed in. We kind of took the best parts of that demo and just kind of amplified it, in my opinion.
Well, fuck, I can't wait to hear that recorded in May then.
For sure. Probably won't be coming out until like early winter.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, vinyl and whatnot is going to take a while, and all those plans we have for that. And then,
you guys are going big?
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Yep. Yeah, we're planning on 12-inch vinyl. So hopefully that's what happens.
Fuck yeah.
I mean, if it's short enough, you might be able to 7-inch it too. But I guess it just depends on how long the EP is. But I would say
8 songs is a big EP.
Yeah. But collectively, people collect 12 inches more than 7 inches. I noticed that, at the record store, I get people, 99% of people buy 12 inches. We have very few 45 people.
Sure.
Yeah.
I just got
to make them. It's only I think it's just barely more money to make a 12 inch than a 7.5 or 45.
Which is dumb because it's half the product in every shape too. Like the jacket's smaller, the record's smaller, the mastering plates are all smaller.
But
like
the
you would think.
The same. So they're just.
You would think it would be less though, significantly less, or even cut it in half.
Say thanks, Taylor Swift.
Yep. Yeah.
This will be you guys' first vinyl release. Then, do you have plans to do numerous different color variants, or you kind of just wait until that comes up to decide?
We're gonna wait till that comes up, probably.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of the best way to go, really. Especially you always get them diehard collectors that got to get every variant of every band that they do. So.
I know how that sales.
Yeah, Carter does know how that goes.
Yeah.
I was just looking at his vinyl collection earlier. It's pretty extensive.
How many records do you have, roughly?
I just cataloged all of them. I've got about 1,200.
Okay.
It's not bad.
They're all sick, too. It's not just the Beatles and stuff. It's all it's all hardcore.
I was going to ask you, you don't have any Bee Gees in there?
Actually, I think I got one shitty Nights on Broadway. And I got the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack too.
Everybody
has Saturday Night Fever. I mean, every collection that I've seen, whether it's people's houses I'm going to checking it out or record collections that I'm buying at the store, there's always a Saturday Night Fever.
It's if you have an old lady, you have to have it.
I like Main Course better for Bee Gees, but
Main Course, the one Nights on Broadway. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
But I guess we're not here to talk about Bee Gees.
We are not.
We could be.
We could be, but you guys have somewhere to get, so we'll take up way too much time talking about record collecting. So prior to Crossfire, around Indianapolis, were you guys in other bands around there?
I sing and play bass in a kind of post-hardcore band called Sundown. Also put out on Wise Blood. And then I play bass in a punk band called Paint Job.
As for the other guys, Carter, what's Crispy been in?
Crispy played in a band called Pay Your Dues / Post Collapse. And then he played in a band called Deceiver. And then I don't know, for years, he was just a fill-in guitar player for every name, whatever hardcore band that exists, and he probably played it. But
and he was in Stone Throats with you and Jake as well.
Yeah, Jake and I and Crispy used to be in a kind of mathy hardcore band, really Coalesce, Botch, Converge kind of deal called Stone Throats, 10 or 12 years ago.
So you guys have been doing it for a while, then. That's cool.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, I got to mention again, Jake was in The Contortionist.
Yeah, I wrote it down.
And then Cody's super young. He, just turned 25. But he was in a really cool metalcore band called A Burden to Bear. And then they're from, Fort Wayne area. And then I was in a rock band with Cody for a little bit. And before that, I was in a band called Guilt Trip. Not the UK Guilt Trip. So this was back in 2013. So there is now apparently another band called Guilt Trip, but they're from the UK.
Always another one, man. It's so hard with band names.
Yep.
I'm sure you guys know.
Is there another Crossfire? There's got to be.
There has to be.
Yeah, I think there's like a Indonesian band that is like not active.
Okay.
Called Crossfire.
Do you guys remember that like board game Crossfire?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. We used the intro on a sample pad for our set. That's how we always start off our set.
Oh, nice, nice.
People are just kind of like, what is this? And then we hit that first note and they're like, okay, kind of catches them off guard, you know?
Oh dude, fuck yeah. I was like kind of half surprised like you guys knew what I was talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about. I never played
I've got awesome. It. I got the game at home.
But yeah, the band name comes from the last song off of Master Killer by Marauder.
Oh, duh. Makes perfect sense. That's where
the band name came from.
Awesome.
There is a jazz fusion band called Crossfire and band.
And a country?
Yeah.
Guys should do a fucking
set. The jazz fusion one was from the 70s, though, in Australia. So I think you guys are all right.
They probably don't know shit about Marauder.
Yeah. If someone else is called Crossfire and they have a problem with it, I want to ask them, what are you going to do about it?
Right. Take you to court.
Some guy that owns the copyright to the name's going to cease and desist you after this is posted. You're going to be like, fuck, I didn't know you were a listener, man.
That would be wild.
It would be wild.
These fucking demo tapes worth a lot of money.
Hey, we've already got a plan. Crossfire AD.
Oh, yeah.
Crossfire AD.
There you go. That's funny.
There is a lot of. I'm trying to think of what other bands did. GBH did that with Charged, where they dropped that eventually. I'm trying to think of what other band added a title after they like switched a name or something.
I swore in mind I saw like Entombed, I think.
Entombed AD. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Venom did like the Venom Inc. thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's been done quite a few times, actually.
Yeah, I noticed somebody's wearing an American Nightmare hoodie.
So Cro-Mags.
There's a big one.
What do you say, American Nightmare?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were American Nothing and then Give Up the Ghost. Now they got American Nightmare back.
Yeah, Give Up the Ghost. That's such a clever fucking name.
That was going to be the name of Down to Your Underground. Yeah. That was going to be the name of the album.
Yeah. Fucking like rocker band was like, fuck that, man. It's my fucking band's name. Like, really, dude?
But
I think you guys will be fine.
Yeah, it seems like hardcore and punk music can kind of just do whatever they feel like, really.
I mean,
that's the
time.
Whole idea behind it, literally. Like, that's the attitude. So,
is Sundown still, you still carrying that on?
Are we doing what?
Is Sundown still active?
Right now we're kind of on hiatus.
Okay, I was just wondering. I was looking at the Bandcamp right now. I'm going to check that out later.
Yeah. It's like kind of I don't know. It's kind of like our take on like Hot Water Music, a Veil, Jawbreaker kind of stuff. But
yeah.
Like, we're all just like hardcore deck guys, so it came out a little harder than that.
Yeah, but it's like one dude says gritty, dirty, and athematic.
I'm gonna guess.
Oh, anthemic.
Yeah,
I was gonna say. I thought that was gonna be mathematic without the M. It was a typo.
So that makes me want to check it out right there.
Yeah.
So I know you guys got to get going shortly, so we'll start to kind of wrap things up here. But before we do that, do you guys have anything that you want to add
or plug?
I think like I tried to kind of mention homies like. Throughout the podcast. For a quick like recap what we have going on. We're just playing a ton of shows. Just I guess check out our mainly on Instagram. Check out our Instagram, follow us on Bandcamp. Yeah, just playing a ton of shows, check out our demo, and then we're doing our EP. So
yeah, but if anybody like out there like Midwest or whatever wants to book us, hit us up. We'll make it happen.
Right on.
Cool. I'll put all your Instagram and Bandcamp links and everything in the episode description for this.
My man, thank you.
Hey, man, I'm glad we could make this happen, even though you guys are like just chilling in a van. It's awesome.
Yeah. And when we come up to Detroit, let's all eat some conies together.
You guys are in Ohio, right?
We're in northeastern Michigan.
Like three and a half hours above Detroit.
Oh, okay.
For some reason, I don't know why I thought you were over in Ohio. I guess
we were doing a bunch of One Life Crew episodes, Steph.
That would be why.
And we did like some live streams with Chubbs and whatnot. So yeah, that would make sense.
Right. Gotcha. But yeah,
you guys make it to Detroit, we'll make it to Detroit.
Oh yeah. We'll definitely make it up there. I mean, soon enough.
Yeah, I mean, whether you play a show or whether you're going to a show or whatever, just get a hold of one of us either way, and like we'll head our way down there. Like Jeremy seems to go to a little more than I do for shows right now.
Oh, I was, but we're going to Tied Down. That's the next big one.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to see Obituary and Cannibal Corpse before then.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, very nice.
Yeah, I'm taking my kid with me.
Oh, heck yeah.
How are you guys going to see Jeff reunite with Cold as Life?
Say what?
Jeff, like, with Cold as Life?
Yeah. Jeremy's seen the show. I wasn't at it.
I saw the video. It looks sick.
Yeah, all the videos and the play and everything that I've seen, like, that looked fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And, like, the second show that they did looked like they had it a little more together and, like, they were really in a rhythm at that point.
And the fucking kids were stage diving. It was so rad.
Yeah.
But yeah, all right, question for you guys. Three best Michigan bands ever.
Ever?
Ever?
Yeah. Yeah.
The Stooges.
The MC5. Stooges.
The MC5.
Yeah. Oh, you're... Okay.
But see, no, I can't. That's so hard.
Well,
because it's all right, like,
all right.
Are you talking just hardcore?
Yeah, let's go hardcore. Let's go just hardcore.
Because that makes it slightly easier. I would say Cold as Life, Earth Mover. The third one's always the hardest one because you feel like you're leaving something out.
Negative Approach?
Yeah, Negative Approach. I guess we kind of by default have to say that.
Yeah, but there's fucking...
I know, there's like Pitbull, a million of them, but I just...
Heydink,
like, when you get asked that off the dome like that, like you got to come with three instead of thinking about it forever, because otherwise I could sit here all day and be like, well, this band did this before this one did this.
Suicide Machines, like, dude, you can't do that. We're going to be here all night.
Yeah, I'll go with those three that I said in hardcore, like Negative Approach, Earth Mover, and Cold as Life.
That's a fantastic list.
But if we were talking all time, I mean, like, Stooges definitely got to be in there.
Oh, big time. Has to be.
Yeah, and it's like the Stooges, but you don't want to leave out the MC5, but then you don't want to leave out Bob.
The Stooges had more than the MC5 did.
True.
Right. MC5 had, like, the one really good record and then two not bad, but not as good records.
The Stooges definitely had the bigger effect.
Yeah.
If you want
to... I was lucky enough to see the Stooges in Chicago in like 2012.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Ron Ashton used to come up to Alpena, but he was a fucking asshole.
I thought you guys were going to say Kid Rock, ICP, and Eminem.
ICP... No, but I do want to go to the fucking Juggalo Fest before I die. That's like a bucket list.
I'd put Isham in there if we were going rappers.
Yeah, see, that's a whole nother fucking category.
And Dayton
shit.
Family.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, you guys fucking, thanks for getting on.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Oh, wait, we got to ask you a question. What's some shit you listened to that nobody would expect?
Good thing you remembered, because I would have forgot.
What was the what?
So... What do you listen to that nobody would expect you to listen to? Like, okay, you're in a hardcore band, post-hardcore band, you rock, or are you really, like, listening to some fucking...
One of my top five favorite bands of all time is American Football.
Okay.
Yeah.
That'll...
And then I love, like, 90s emo stuff. Like, Saves the Day is my absolute favorite band. I love the Get Up Kids, like, Promise Ring, all that shit.
Yeah.
Mineral, like...
This is going to sound crazy, but me, Carter, and Crispy all are kind of like that. Like, we all love Saves the Day. We all love Alkaline Trio is another one that Carter didn't just say. But a lot of people are kind of surprised about that. Like, Carter's wearing Saves the Day right now. I was wearing... I was wearing an Alkaline Trio shirt the other day, and people are like, what is going on here?
Really? See, that's not as surprising.
I like Alkaline Trio. What did you think of their new record? Did you listen to it?
Yeah, I have it on vinyl. You got it on vinyl too, right, Carter? Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. Not like, holy shit, this is fucking awesome, but pretty good.
Yeah, like, it was better than like what Blink-182's been putting out.
Oh, way better.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, I'm with Carter. I didn't like put it in, and it wasn't like I don't know. Like, I remember when I put Good Morning in, I was like, whoa, this is insane. Oh, like, I didn't feel like that, but I like it.
Yeah, I bought it too. I liked it. I thought it was good.
For sure.
Definitely not the greatest record of all time or anything. I would say Good Morning as well, but.
I'm a From Here to Infirmary.
Yeah,
guy.
From Here to Infirmary as well. And Good Morning. Those two right back to back. Those are the.
Yeah.
Those are big.
I agree. But all right, guys, you enjoy your show that you're heading to, and we'll be in touch with you on Instagram soon.
All right. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah,
see you guys.
Peace.